So the first year, we only had to take 82 blot and try to put it into an hour shiur. Ksubis is another 30 blot, so it's we'll try to condense it a little bit. Much of my second ksubis doesn't have to do with ksubis anyway, so for our purposes. So I thought we'd just try to get a little bit of a background of what ksubis is all about and some of the common shailas, the common issues that come up in terms of at the time of Siddur Kiddushin to try to write out a ksuba properly. So the whole institution of ksuba is a big question in the Gemara itself, Machlekes Atanoim, Machlekes Rishonim, where the whole halach of ksuba comes from in the first place. So there's a famous Machlekes that appears in the beginning of ksuba, in the end of ksuba, and a few times in between, about whether ksuba is the Raisa, whether ksuba is the Rabbanon. That according to one day in Tanoim, so the institution of ksuba, at least what we call the Ikra ksuba, the amount of money that a person has to pay, the 200 zuz, so that's actually a din min haTorah, derived from probably from the parasha of Onus and Mufata, a whole discussion in the Gemara and the Rishonim, but at least one opinion maintains that when a couple gets married, so if the marriage breaks up, either through death or divorce, so the husband is actually mechuyav min haTorah to pay her either literally 200 zuz, or at least a certain degree, a certain amount of money on a level of deraisa. So that's one opinion in the Rishonim, that paskins this way, or Beit HaTam paskins this way, that the chiyuv ksuba is in fact with deraisa. Other Rishonim disagree, other Rishonim say that we pass like the other opinions in the Gemara, the other Tanoim, that the whole institution of ksuba is only midirabanan. If it's ready enough, kamin ladina, at the end of the day he has to pay it, at the end of the day you have to write a ksuba. So do we really care whether ksuba is a din deraisa or din derabanan? So much revolves around one word in the ksuba, that one word, deraisa. Namely, is it appropriate to put in that word in the ksuba deraisa? So the famous phrase in the ksuba, that at least it's famous in the Ashkenazi ksuba, is the chazi lechem midaraisa. So Rabbeinu Tam felt that you have to write in that phrase the chazi lechem midaraisa because ksuba is deraisa. So you have to indicate the fact that ksuba is deraisa. So other Rishonim were opposed to that phrase. Other Rishonim held that ksuba is derabanan. So what are you writing deraisa? There's one day in Rishonim that says that ksuba is possible if you write in deraisa because it's not true. It's mezuyif mitocho. The shtar is not accurate. We don't, at least Ashkenazim don't pass like that. We assume that we do write in the Chazi Leichem Midaraisa. The Sfardim do not write in the Chazi Leichem Midaraisa. They follow the other Rishonim that the Chiv Ksuba is only Midirabanan. It's Makiv what? To write or not to write means. If you write, it's possible. I'm saying, right, there's a Ritva, right? There is an opinion of Rishonim that says it's Mamish possible. Right. The Rosh says in Masechus Ksubis that just because we write the phrase the Chazi Leichem Midaraisa, that doesn't necessarily indicate that we really paskin that the Chiyuv Ksuba is deraisa for the following reason. The Rosh says that maybe that phrase Midaraisa is written for a different reason. Maybe it's written to indicate what the method of the Tashlumin is going to be. We know from the Sugyas in Ksubis and Bava Kamma, there are different methods of Tashlumin in Halacha. There were different monetary systems that existed Bizman Chazal, and Chiyuvim deraisa were calculated in one monetary system, and Chiyuvim derabanan were calculated in a smaller, in a less valuable monetary system. So ksuba happens to be the exception to the rule, says the Rosh, that even if ksuba is only midirabanan, but we really give it to the husband. The husband's really got to pay the higher amount, he has to pay as if it's a chiyuv deraisa. So according to the Rosh, when you write that phrase, the chazi lechem midaraisa, doesn't mean what it sounds like. It doesn't mean to say that we really paskin that ksuba is deraisa. Ksuba is derabanan, says the Rosh. It could be ksuba is derabanan. But we still write the chazi lechem midaraisa to indicate the fact that you're going to pay the higher amount of money. So the phrase, the chazi lechem midaraisa, may not be a dead giveaway that Rabbeinu Tam is necessarily accepted. So I'll call upon him. There are three different opinions in the Rishonim about that phrase, the chazi lechem midaraisa. Rabbeinu Tam says you write it because it's true, because ksuba is really deraisa. Other Rishonim say you don't write it because it's not true, and it may even disqualify according to some. And the middle ground is the Rosh, that you write it, but it doesn't really mean it. It doesn't mean what we think it means. It doesn't mean that the chiyuv is derais. It just means the method of tashlumin, the calculation of the payment, is on a derais dik scale. The ma'isa, we know that the Ashkenazi ksubas do write it, and the Sephardic ksubas do not write it. When we speak about ksuba being deraisa, so that only refers to the ksuba of a besula, of a woman who has not yet been married. If a woman is not a besula, so she's a grusha, a mona, a beula, whatever the case may be, then according to everybody, the ksuba would not be deraisa. So then obviously one should not write in that phrase deraisa, unless you're dealing with a ksuba that would be a chi of deraisa. The Mishnah says in Maseches Ksubas that no matter how you slice it, whether the chi of ksuba is deraisa or derabanan, the chassan doesn't really have to write the ksuba. If he doesn't write the ksuba, he's still mechuyav to pay. The guy shouldn't think, because he didn't write the ksuba, so we're not going to make him pay. It's what's called the Tanai Beis Din. That means either Min HaTorah or Min HaRabbanan, it's going to be enforceable in Beis Din. He has to pay whether he wrote the Ksuba or not. So why are we writing Ksuba? Why are we giving a Shiur? We have early lunch. So why do we have to bother writing a Ksuba if it's enforceable anyway? So the Gemara quotes a Machlekes HaTanaim about this, and we paskin that also Lishos Ishto Beli Ksuba, that a person is not permitted to be together with his wife unless there is a formal Ksuba that's actually written, Mishum Smichus Das, that we want the wife to feel that the husband's not going to be able to just divorce her at whim. It means the whole purpose of the Ksuba, either the Rabbanan, the Reis, whatever it is, Shaloi Yekal, of Lotzia, that it shouldn't be easy for him just to divorce her just like that. We know it's going to cost him quite a few zuzim if he divorces her. So not only is that true that it's going to cost him the money, but we want to make sure the wife realizes that she's going to be entitled to the money. So therefore, the halacha prohibits the couple to be together until there's an actual ksuba that's written. Whether he wrote the ksuba or not, he's still going to have to pay it, but there's an issa to be with his wife because the ksuba hasn't been written. There is a question whether that iser even applies b'zman hazeh for the following reason, that the halacha is that if you have a situation where the husband cannot divorce his wife, he's not permitted to divorce his wife, such as the case of an ones, let's say a person was a ma'anis, a woman, lo yuchal l'shach kol yomav, the case of if he raped the woman, so the halacha requires that he marries her if she wants to, and then he's not permitted to divorce her b'al karcha, so then the halacha says he doesn't have to write her a ksuba, because what's the shaila? He's never going to divorce her b'al karcha. What's the chashash? So the Ramah raises the question, maybe we can invoke that halacha b'zman hazeh for a regular marriage. Maybe we who live post-chem of Rabbeinu Gershom, so you're not allowed to divorce your wife. The Ashkenazim are not allowed to divorce their wives b'al korcha. They're bound by the chem of Rabbeinu Gershom. So maybe we can say that, what do you mean, Shema Shelo Yekol Be'inav Lotzia? He's not going to divorce her. We'll never let him divorce her against her will because of chem of Rabbeinu Gershom. So maybe you can argue the whole institution of ksuba isn't necessary b'zman hazeh. What do you have to write a ksuba? What do you have to bother with a ksuba? The whole chashash doesn't apply anymore. So there are more quotes such as Svara, he doesn't necessarily paskin like that Svara, but he quotes such as Svara. Most of the poskim in Evan Ezer don't accept that. Most of the poskim say that it's not exactly the same. It means the Lo Yuchal L'Shachol Kol Yomav is the Rabban Shalom speaking. The Chayim Rabban Gershom is the Rabban Gershom speaking. The Chayim Rabban Gershom is not a Derai. I mean, it may be a Derai in other realms of Chayim Shavuos and Gittin Sug is okay, but leaving out the Lomdus for now. Bottom line is it's not the same as a Lava Mefurish B'Torah of Lo Yuchal L'Shachol. So that's what that minig is. We don't follow this opinion. We do write ksubas today. We assume that you really do need we try at least to assume that you really do need a ksuba. If a kamish doesn't have a ksuba, right? So if they feel terrible, they've been living the last 50 years without a ksuba, you tell them that they relied on the smell of their mother. They shouldn't feel so terrible. But obviously in normal cases, we insist that the ksuba be written and the ksuba be hopefully written properly. There is an issur, as we said before, that a person is not permitted to be together with his wife before the ksuba is actually written. There is a machlekes of Rishonim, whether that issur applies only to actually having relations, or whether there's an issur yichud as well. So can a couple at least be together in a room, they can at least go home together, if they don't have a ksuba? Is that a problem or not? That's a machlekes in the Rishonim. It's that halacha that causes an issue in terms of the timing, the proper timing of the writing of the ksuba, that because of the fact that we don't want to take any chances, not only do we not want the couple to actually have tashmish together before they have a ksuba, we don't even want them to have yichud together before they have a ksuba. Therefore, we want to make sure before that couple goes to the yichud room, so that ksuba is written and signed, sealed, and delivered, and it's written, everything is done properly before they go into the yichud room. So the truth is, there are really two important reasons why we want to make sure the ksuba is already completed, and if there are any questions, so the questions are already resolved before they go to the yichud room. So number one, according to many Rishonim, there's an issur of yichud, otherwise if the ksuba is not acceptable. But there may be another reason as well. The Ran in the beginning of Maseches Ksubas raises the question of if the ksuba is not filled out properly before they go to the yichud room, that may throw into question the validity of the yichud, because there is a machlokes in the Rishonim. We didn't really have a chance to speak too much about nisuin, which she was only in Siddur Kiddushin, but we all know there's a second half of marriage, and that's the nisuin. So before the couple are completely married for all Dini HaTorah, they have to undergo the second ceremony called nisuin. So Kiddushin is fairly simple. I mean, simple, it took us an hour to talk about it. It's 82 blatin of a sechda, but it's fairly simple in terms of there are three methods of how to do it. There's kesef, there's shtar, there's bia. That's all there is. There's one day in the Gemara discusses whether chuppah can serve as kedushin or not, but pretty much the three methods of kedushin are pretty straightforward. What constitutes nisuin is far from straightforward. It's a big machlokes in the Rishonim. What is the second chalos? What is the second kinyan? The Gemara speaks about it all the time, about kedushin and nisuin. The Gemara derives from psukim. There are dinim d'oraisa that depend upon the second stage of nisuin, but it's not clear from the Gemara exactly what you do. How do you go about doing the second stage of nisuin? So that's a big machlokes in the Rishonim. So the Rambam has his shita based on his reading of the Gemara Maseches Ksubis, that the definition of nisuin is what's called a yichud, but it's a yichud aroy labia. It has to be that the couple goes to a yichud together, and they're in the yichud room in a way that, in theory, they could be together. That's why the Rambam holds that if the woman is a nida, so the nisuin is not really going to be chal. The yichud isn't going to be chal. The chuppah is not going to be chal. We said in the first shiur that the kedushin lechatchila shouldn't be done when she's a nida, according to the Rambam. But b'diavad, the kedushin is chal, whereas the nisuin is nothing according to, nothing but a tashas is according to the Rambam, it wouldn't be chal, because that's called the yichud she'eino roi labia. So there are many Rishonim who disagree with the Rambam. There are many Rishonim who say nisuin doesn't even mean yichud. Nisuin may mean when the couple goes home, or nisuin may mean the Ramah quote standing under the chuppah. Some Rishonim say the nisuin means the bedekin is considered to be the nisuin, which throws into question the Mishnah Melech Safek about how can it be the bedekin? Last we checked, the bedekin's before the kedushin. So that's a strange switch of order. How can you have nisuin before kedushin? So there's the Mishnah Melech and the Chazishas about that. So we have a lot of different opinions in the Rishonim. What is the nisuin? But the Rambam says that it's yichud aroy labias. That's what the Ran raises the question in the beginning of Maseches Ksubas, is that if you're going to go to the yichud room and you're trying to create a nisuin according to the Rambam Shita, and the ksuba isn't filled out properly, so then not only is there potentially an issa yichud according to some Rishonim, but what you're trying to accomplish isn't going to be accomplished, because that's called the yichud she'en aroy labia. Just as a chuppah's nida isn't chal for nisuin, so too a chuppah without a proper ksuba would be a question according to the Rambam as well. That's what the Ran's chiddush is. The Rambam doesn't say that befeirish. The Rambam doesn't talk about having yichud without a proper ksuba, but that was the Ran's extension of the Shittas Rambam. So therefore, we try as best as possible to make sure everything is done properly, everything is signed and filled out properly before they go to the yichud room, to make sure we shouldn't violate the yisur of being beyichud without a proper ksuba, and also to make sure that the nisuin is going to be chal even according to the Shittas Rambam. So what are some of the important things to be aware of in terms of the filling out of the ksuba? So we go through just quickly some of the highlights in terms of the ksuba. So with the first line of the ksuba, of course, has the zman on it. So we point out exactly when the ksuba is being signed. So we point out the day of the week, the day of the month, etc. The year, obviously, when exactly the ksuba is being signed. The ksuba, like other shtaros, is subject to proper timing, in the sense that the Mishnah tells us that if you have a shtam muktam is possible. If you predate a document, say borrow $1,000 from you when we write an earlier date than the actual loan took place, so that's a problem, because that could potentially lead down the line to somebody collecting the money. Shalikidin, you can start to collect from the chasim mishubadim, you can start to collect from property that may have been sold after the shtar is dated, but before the loan actually took place, so that would be shalikidin. So therefore, shtam muktam, the Mishnah says, is posel. Shtam uchar is kosher. If you post-date a document, so then technically speaking, the document, most documents, would technically be kosher if they're shtam uchar, at least shtar chov, but a shtam muktam would be posel. So for this reason, a ksuba, which is similar to a shtar chov in the sense that it's giving the woman the right to collect, so if I date a document today, date the ksuba today, and the chiyuv of the ksuba isn't kicking in for another a week from now, so that's going to be a problem. That's a shtam muktam, and the ksuba is going to be posel. So one has to be very careful when one dates a ksuba to make sure not to date it as a shtam muktam. The Gemara tells us that there's a way to circumvent the problem of shtam muktam, is if you make a kinyan, if you make a kabbalas kinyan, and the person obligates themselves in the chov, even before the chov technically kicked in, so then it's not really a problem of shtam muktam. The whole idea of shtam muktam is that the person's not really chayef. If Reuven's not chayef to pay the money, so how could the document say that he's chayef to pay it already from yesterday? But if you make a kabbalas kinyan beforehand, so then in theory you can date the document based on the day of the kabbalas kinyan. So l'chora, that would be a good solution in terms of iksu. So let's say you have us all the time. You're being beside a kedushin, it's getting close to shkia, and you want to date the document, you want to date the shtar today, but you have a feeling that it's probably going to take place later tonight. So no problem, just make the kinyan, make a kabbalah's kinyan, and l'chora, the husband is chayef to pay from that point, so that should circumvent the problem of ishtar muktam. That's l'chora, what we would have said. So Rav Moshe wasn't happy with that. Rav Moshe was of the opinion that the kinyan that we do before the woman is even mekudeshes, that's the command of Esa, that doesn't really mean anything. So it's not shaykh to be meshabed yourself to pay the ksuba, you're not married yet. So it turns out that if the kinyan isn't really binding, so then you're back to square one, you're back to ishtar muktam type of a problem. So those who are choshesh Rav Moshe would be concerned with predating the ksuba, even if they made a kabbalah's kinyan. You always have the option when you're writing a ksuba, when you have this type of a touchy situation, you always have the option of post-dating it, of making it a shtar me'uchar. A shtar me'uchar, we don't like to make shtar me'uchar. It's a shtickle mechzik, a shikra. It doesn't look so nice to write the wrong date, but it's better than a shtar muktam. A shtar muktam is possible. A shtar me'uchar is kosher. It's just not the nicest thing. You can sometimes run into a little bit of a problem with a ksuba if you post-date the ksuba, let's say being Masada Kedushin, you know, late in the afternoon, and you think that based on your experience, you see things are schlepping and draying, and the party planner is telling you one thing, and the parents are telling you something else. When I'm Masada Kedushin, usually the first thing I try to figure out is who is in charge, who is calling the shots, because as in life, you have to know who are you listening to, because inevitably you're getting different directions. I was just Masada Kedushin 2 days ago, so there was a whole machlokes when we davening mincha. We davening mincha before, so the party planner is telling me one thing, the grandfather saying something else, the chassan didn't have a clue what was going on, the parents were, everyone was in, I don't know where they were, and it gets very, you know, Baruch Hashem was now in here for four shkia, so you know, I didn't make much of a difference, but I've been Masada Kedushin when it was on the buzzer, and sometimes it's important to, you're standing there trying to, you want to date the ksuba properly, and no one gives you a straight answer whether we're going to the chuppah before or afterwards. So sometimes you have to go with the flow, so sometimes you have to be safer and you have to post-date the ksuba rather than predate the ksuba. So if you post-date the ksuba, let's say the ksuba says tomorrow's date on it, and now the Goy Milsi, you have the chuppah now, so when they leave the chuppah, they go to the yichud room, they may be going to the yichud room with a ksuba that's not technically kosher yet. It means the ksuba is really only enforceable starting the next day. So you may have gotten yourself into a little bit of a pickle. It means you had a longish ksuba that's a shtar me'uchar, but it's going to be fine tomorrow. But as of now, it's no good. So there's a possible eitzah to do in terms of that, even though we said before that when you have a woman who doesn't have a ksuba, so she's not permitted to be with her husband, the Gemara says there's an exception to that rule. If you makbis or a mashkon, if you give her a collateral, you give her something that's worth the value of the 200 zuz, so then technically speaking, they would be permitted to one another. You're not supposed to do that long term. You're not supposed to spend 50 years of marriage based on that mashkon. But the poskim ha-mekel, the shasar chach, sometimes you have these strange situations where if you give her a mashkon that's worth 200 zuz, you have to go figure out how much 200 zuz is. So you give her back the chassan's wash, and you give her a fan see something and say that this is for the purpose of your ksuba. So technically speaking, for that short interval of time, she would be permitted. Yeah, there was a mice, was it last year? There was a mice in Lakewood with a ksuba, and they realized on Shabbos that the ksuba was no good. So I don't know what the maskana was, but I would have, because I don't know if that's what they did.
The kedushin belonged to a family member. The ring was forgotten.
Oh, it was the ring that was forgotten. It was the ring.
Her
okay.
Ring, but they didn't realize.
So it was a ring problem. I thought it was a ksuba problem. Okay, the ksuba problem in Shabbos, so the Gemara already says they were getting married late on Friday afternoon. They couldn't figure out what to do. So matfis, they didn't have time to write the ksuba. They were matfis a mashkan. So, meikir adin, you could do that. So you have to just keep that in mind when you're writing ksubas that we try to, obviously, the chachila get the date properly. If it's a choice between a ksuba that's muktam or me'uchar, it's better to err on the side of being a shtar me'uchar. After we write the zman in, so then we have to write the makom as well. So writing in the makom, we know that in Huchas Gittin, so there are very, 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 very detailed requirements in terms of writing the makom. And in Huchas Gittin, so we identify the makom not just as the city itself, but we identify it based on the rivers, based on the water sources of that makom. And some of the Sephardic subas, I think they do that also. Ashkenazic subas, we generally don't do that. We just write with the, we'll see in a minute, the city, state, whatever it is. But we usually don't identify those water sources. That was once Masada Kedushin for one of my tamidim was a Sfadi boy, and so he asked me to be Masada Kedushin. So I asked him, okay, how do you want me to be Masada Kedushin? You want a Sfadi chasna, you want Ashkenazi chasna? So I said he wants a Sfadi chasna. I said I have no problem with that. I said I just have one request. I said I said, is there anyone there? Is there any Svadi Rav there who will just be metapa with the ksuba? Because I said, you know, I don't, I know it's a little bit different. It would be a little more comfortable. Let somebody be metapa with the ksuba. So he said to me, sure, no problem. He's got an uncle, he's got a cousin, he's got somebody who's he's an expert in ksubas, everything. He'll take care of everything. Famous last words, I come to the chasana. The person who was the expert wasn't sure whether to hold the ksuba upside down or right side up, so he didn't know anything. So he hands me the ksuba. Okay, so I'm thinking, not that difficult. So I'll start to fill out the ksuba. So I'm starting to fill out the ksuba, and I'm saying, see, there's a line that starts with a dir, right at the beginning, it starts with a dir and a blank, and a big blank. So, you know, I was thinking, what am I missing here with the dirs? So I figured, you know, let me just call one of the Sfadi Rabban. It was my luck. It was like Mincha Maariv time. So every Sfadi Rav in Brooklyn was having Mincha at that time. So I tracked down, so I think I had to call someone in California. They had to crack down somebody who wasn't having Mincha. So he said to me, what do you mean dir? The Yosval Mei, Naharos, whatever it was, East River, whatever, in Brooklyn, whatever it was. So it didn't dawn on me. I wasn't thinking. I was writing a ksuba, and I realized I was writing a get. So it didn't dawn on me that I was supposed to write what the rivers was. So I have to identify with the rivers. But again, we usually don't do that. We usually identify it just in terms of the city and then in terms of the state. That's what that meaning is. There are different minhagim in terms of whether to point out what the city is and what the state is. There are some who like to write the masa for the city and b'medinas New York, b'medinas California for the state. There are others who just write straight out Los Angeles, California. Again, different minhagim amongst the Masadri Kedushin. In terms of New York, so there's always a question in terms of what the real city is. The real city is technically New York City. The boroughs are not really cities in and of themselves. But the minhag was always to identify Brooklyn as a city in and of itself. This goes back to the good old days in the 1800s when Brooklyn was mamash a city, when they started to be Masada Gittin in Brooklyn. So Brooklyn was not yet incorporated to be part of New York City. So they wrote, used to write Brooklyn. Those are the Dodger fans, I'll know, will appreciate. That's why they're called the Brooklyn Dodgers, not called the New York Dodgers, because they were in Brooklyn, please speak to LA Dodgers. So the younger for everybody. So the minig is in New York City. Usually the minig is you identify the borough is, and then you write either Medina's New York, or you just write straight to New York. And other cities, you just write the name of the city, and you write again. Those who write Medina's write Medina's. Those who just write the name of the state, just write the name of the state. One should be careful not to write as follows. As once at a chasana where they wrote Baltimore, America. So Baltimore, America, I mean, we know what Baltimore it is, but Lemaisa, there's many more than one Baltimore. We don't think that way, but there are many, many Baltimores in America. So that was a little bit questionable. Is that really the proper identification of the city? So the correct way of identifying the city should be referring to the city and referring with the state as Adkan Velo Yoser. You have a lot of issues, you know, in terms of really drawing the lines exactly where the breakdown in terms of the city is. Those who have been in chasanas in the atrium, so are well aware of the atrium, which is in, depending on whether you call it Muncie or Spring Valley. So I've been at different chasanas in the same week where it's been some people write at Spring Valley, some will write at Muncie again. My misery is to write Spring Valley on it, but I'm not far be it from me to be Motzi Laz on. It's technically, if you look at where the line is, if you're driving down Route 59, so the sign that says Muncie is technically right before the atrium. So technically, legally, it's technically Spring Valley, even though most people in Muncie think it's in Muncie. So again, not going to be Muncie laws in anything, but so there are some places where it's somewhat on the border in terms of that. So after we identify what the correct time is, and we identify where the correct place is, so we have to identify who's getting married. So we have to identify who the chasan is, who the kala is, and this becomes always a little bit tricky. So obviously you have to write the shame of the chasan and the shame of the kala. Obviously in the days of Chazal, there were no such things as last names. So this was a question that was raised by the poskim, that there was some more makbid, but Moshe was makbid in this, that one should really write the last names into the ksub as well, to avoid any shaylas of what the Gemara quotes, the Shnei Yosef and Shimon's be'irachas. That if you have one city that there are two people with the same name, so then the Gemara says you have to identify the people by another way, through a kinui, through a nickname, through a something, through a grandfather's name, in order there shouldn't be any chashash as to the kashrus of the shtar. So Rav Moshe thought that it would be appropriate because of this to identify the last name as well. So others didn't accept this chumrah. There are different minhagim today. Usually the Masorah that I have, it depends how much room there is. If you have somebody who has a fairly short first name and there's room for a last name, liyesus eisus, you're right, lemishpachas, you should fill in the last name. I have a very long first name. My name is Tzvi Binyamin Menachem, and I have a long last name also, Sobolovsky. So there was no room. So Rabbi Willig was my Masada condition, so I said, forget this. What are you going to do? There's no room for it. So different things. Somebody was just telling me over Shabbos that they saw a ksuba that was signed by Rav Moshe and by Rav Yaakov. So when Rav Moshe signed the ksuba, he signed it Feinstein, and Rav Yaakov just signed his name without signing Kamenetsky. That's what he told me. He saw such a copy of a ksuba. I don't know. I didn't see it, so I can't tell you for sure. So again, so there are some who are machbit to write the last name. Obviously, the Dievet, if there's no last name, we hope it's still going to be kosher. Isn't that? Yeah.
That's what I've been told. Rabbi Felder, yeah, was shocked. He told me that Rabbi Shimon is not
Machbid. Yeah. Really? Maybe everyone had long names there. I don't know.
The Rav wanted
to Mishpach. The Rav is like Mishpach, really. So Rabbi Shimon personally didn't. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. And I can't say. And the Tshuva he writes. Tshuva, that's what he writes. In terms of writing the names properly, so one has to be careful that this is actually what the person's name is. So if, let's say, you have what's called a Shem Shnishtake, you have a name that the person was given at one time, the person never holds from his name, never heard of this name, doesn't know what the name is, so you're not really supposed to write their name, you're supposed to write the name that the person is known by. If the person is still known sometimes by that name, let's say you have a person who goes by the name of Michael, but they get Aliyah and Shul, so they're called up Michal, they're called up Mordechai, whatever their Hebrew name is. So then at Minigiz, we write the name that they get the Aliyah as, because that's not a Shem Shishtaket, it means we call them up in Shul, they make Mishabarachs in that name, so that would obviously be okay. That's what at Minigiz. We don't, Ashkenazim generally do not write in the Kinuyim and other kinds of things like we write in Nuchas Gittin. The Gemara has in the fourth Berachim said is Gittin, that when you write a get, so you have to write Kol Shum De Yeshlo. It means not only do you write the name itself, but you write the phrase Kol Shum Sheyeshlo. Different machlekes have shown them. Does that mean you write that phrase, or does that mean you mamash write every name? So the Ashkenazi Gittin, so we write out every single name. So you write, you know, Menachem de Miskere, Hamachuna Mark, Hamachuna, I don't know, whatever it is, whatever they call him, Lefty, Hamachuna, whatever his names are. So you can write his kinuyim and his father's kinuyim and his wife's kinuyim and his wife. You can have 12 lines of a get just with all the kinuyim. So Nuchas Gittin, we're very machbid on that. Ashkenazim follow that opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. In Ksubis, so we generally don't do that. Ksubis, we generally follow the person has his Hebrew name that he was named at birth, and he's still basically known by that name, so we assume that that's acceptable for Ksubis. I was once beside a condition for a fellow. He was a he was an Anian, but he was a Balchuva, and it was very unclear. His parents had come from Iran. He didn't know what his name was at birth. He didn't know what his name was now. He had two different names. His last name was Rahanian. So and he insisted he wants his last name in the Ksuba. I don't know, he insisted that Rahanian be in the Ksuba. I was talking to two different Iranian Rabbanim. They were telling me two different spellings of Ruhanian. I don't know, maybe somebody can tell me, maybe don't tell me what the proper spelling of Ruhanian was. So it was a little bit of a balagan in terms of what his name really was. So that was the only time that I ever wrote in Hamachuna. That I wrote in what one of his names was, but I wrote in Hamachuna something else, because I couldn't get a straight answer what was going on. It was a funny chassid in general, because he was... I used to be a rav in a shul. That used to be a yekesh shul. So he lived in that community. So he was a little bit Iranian. And he had some yekesh minhagim picked up along the way. He had a conglomerate of everything. So at the chasana, so he told me he wants everyone to be happy. One big happy family. We should do a little bit of everything. So it was a little bit of an uncomfortable situation. I tried my best. So I try. So it was funny. At the end of the chuppah, somebody came up to me and said, Rabbi Savlovsky, that was a beautiful, beautiful chas. I've never been at such an inspiring chuppah. So I didn't have the heart to say, because I made it up as I was going on. I just so, no, Shalom Yisrael. Anyway, so his ksuba has the mechunas, had the mikaris, whatever it had in it. But usually in Ashkenazi ksubas, we usually don't do that. Sometimes you have complications in terms of names, particularly if the father is not Jewish. So then the poskim write, you can't write the non-Jewish father. There's no yichus al pidin. He's not related to the father, so you can't write Reuven ben Jack, whatever. If he's not halachically related to Jack, so what are you going to write? So you can't write ben Avram Avinu either, because he's not a ger. If he's a ger, then you write ben Avram Avinu. It's a girl. You write, you know, bas whatever, but. But who are you going to write exactly? So there are different opinions in poskim. So some poskim say you write the mother's name, like the Gemara of Mori Bar Rochel, the Gemara, the quote from sources in the Gemara that you write the mother's name. Some very often they're very uncomfortable about that. Doesn't mean you have to read that out publicly. What you read publicly is lav dafka, a reflection of what it says in the Ksuba. So some are uncomfortable with that. So there is an opinion in poskim that you write the grandfather's name, you write the Jewish grandfather's name. So I think in Gittin now, if I'm not mistaken, that's what's one of the Masadu Gittin in New York told me that's what they do now. That's at least what he does in terms of Gittin. I don't know. Yesh v'yesh.
Both approaches.
They're different approaches, yeah. Yeah. So for Ksubis, again, it's a little bit more kal, obviously, than Gittin, so I'd be all right writing the grandfather's, the Jewish grandfather's name as well. So why don't you try to make sure that we spell the names properly. So, again, we're not as machbid as in Uchaz Gittin, but we try our best to spell them properly. I know we have an issue with one of my children. She's only 2 years old, so we got a long way off to decide this. So my youngest daughter's name is Blima. So technically the post came right when you have a Yiddish name, so it's supposed to end with an Aleph. The Hebrew names end with a Hey, and the Yiddish names end with an Aleph. So really the correct halachic spelling of the name Blima is Beis Lamed Yud Mem Aleph. So when my daughter was born, I told my wife that we really should write Aleph, so I was outvoted on that one. My wife, my mother-in-law, those who know my mother-in-law, Israeli, so that wasn't going over too well. We're going to have an Aleph at the end of the. I figured, okay, I'm not going to make a tumble as to what it says on our birthday card, or whatever. So meanwhile, she's still going with the hay. So I remember when she was born. So Rabbi Willick said to me, he said, "No, so well, how are you spelling her name?" So I sheepishly answered with a hay. So he said to me, he said, "I hope Mitzvah Shem when she gets married, some Masada Kedushim will knock some sense into you." He said to teach you how to spell it properly. Then he told me afterwards, he said, I think his wife's name is Fega. So I think it was also, I think at his chasana, so he said the Rav changed what her spelling of her name was. He didn't like the way it was spelled, so he did it differently. He said, okay, Mitzvah Shem, we should be zeich to marry her daughter, so we'll figure out how to spell her name properly at the time. Anyway, and it was getting the post can save you right with the hey, it's kosher with the avid anyway. So no, but the avid, it's still all right. There are other things that are written into the ksuba as well. Different amounts of money are written into the ksuba. So we mentioned before that the ikar ksuba is, of course, the 200 zuz. That's if the woman is a besula. If she's not a besula, then the halach is it's only a ksuba midirabanan, and the amount is cut in half. It's only 100 zuz. So we have a famous shayla that comes up when you have a woman who's getting married. She's getting married for the first time, but unfortunately she's not a besula. So what's her chiyuv ksuba? So the emes is that her chiyuv ksuba is only 100 zuz. So it becomes a little bit embarrassing. She doesn't want to write it. They don't want to write 100 zuz. They for sure don't want to read 100 zuz out loud. So can you write in 200 zuz or not? So Rav Moshe was makel that you can write in 200 zuz as long as everybody knows what's going on. If the chassan is aware that he's getting himself into a chiyuv that he's not really mechuyev in, so then he's mekabel upon himself. She's a basula, so he writes the 200 zuz. So that's what I think many people are. Many people follow that psak of Rav Moshe today that we write in 200 zuz, and we write in even can even write in the word basula because he's makabel that kila she's a basula. As long as everything is, there's no missing.
You don't say midaraisa then. What do you write in?
Should you write in midaraisa? Okay, so he's meshabed himself midaraisa. That means he's mechuyev midaraisa. Once he's I think that's what people do. There are other things that are written to the ksuba in terms of other values of money, which are the tosefes ksuba. The Mishnah says in the beginning of the fifth parak of ksubas that you only mechuyev in 200 zuz or 100 zuz, but if you want to add on more, so you can add on, the sky's the limit. So that's what we do. We add on in a tosefes ksuba. As man as that, at least in the Ashkenazi ksubas, everything is a standard amount. We add on meyer zakukin kesef tzorov, so in a certain amount of coins from the Middle Ages. Not exactly how much they are, but X amount of money that we add in as a standard to Sefer Ksuba. Then we add in also from the amount of the Nadunya, Zman Chazal, so the woman would bring in a certain amount of money, a certain amount of property into the marriage, so we would actually sit down and days and figure out how much it is, and then the husband would be mishabin himself to pay that X amount of money. In Europe, nobody had any money, but they wanted to feel like they had a lot of money, so they would write this exorbitant amount. They would write Meir Zekukim Kesef Tzorov. Nobody had Kesef Tzorov. Nobody had Meir Zekukim. The Bekoshi she brought in a towel until when she got married. So they would write up X amounts of money. The husband could mishamed himself, whatever he wants. So that's what in Ashkenazic subas, that's what we do today. In Sephardic subas, they have different numbers and different that was also that same problem after I figured out how to write the water and the river sources, so then I had to figure out how much money to put into it. So I had also no clue how to call the guy back to tell me how much money to put in. So again, those are all none of that is ma'akev in the sense of is that the issur of being with your wife without having a ksuba, obviously the sefer in the dunya is only voluntary, but bizman hazeh, of course, the custom has become to write all those things into the ksuba. Sometimes you have situations that arise where you write a ksuba and then you realize that you made a mistake in terms of the ksuba. You wrote a mistake in the name, a mistake in the date, a mistake in the place. So this is a whole question in the poskim, exactly what you're allowed to correct and what you're not allowed to correct. The approach that, at least for my Rebbeim, is that if it's a $1 ksuba, just rip it up and start over again. If it's not a fancy ksuba, you don't get involved with making a tikkunim on a ksuba. If it's a $1,000 ksuba, so then the pressure's on you to figure out how to be misakin that those properly. Whenever the couples come to ask me, should I get a fancy ksuba and hang it up? So I always tell them, listen, I'm not going to tell you what to do. My personal approach to the fancy ksubas is that the same wall that you hang up your life insurance policy and your cemetery deeds on, that's where you hang up your ksuba. So ksuba is a very depressing document. It says that if I die or divorce you, I'm going to pay X amount of money, so that's not something that's supposed to be a work of art. I'm not saying it's also to hang it up, I'm just saying it's funny, it's strange that that became a artistic design. But usually I usually lose out on that one also. So they wanted to have a fancy ksuba, and now there's a mistake on the ksuba, so what do you do? So the poskim discuss about different ways of fixing up the mistake. So the halach is that technically speaking, that one can make a little bit of a correction in the ksuba in between the lines, or sometimes on the side of the lines. You can make a tikkun, and then you have to make note of the fact that you made that tikkun on the bottom. So if Hakol Shor V'Kayim has not been written yet, which in actually was all written already anyway, so then technically you could just make a note before Hakol Shor V'Kayim that we made the following tikkun on line whatever, such and such, and then the Edom will sign on the bottom, so that would be acceptable. The problem is in our ksubas, when a kosher of a kayim has already been written, so that would be problematic. So the poskim write, what you do is that the Edom first sign, like they would sign normally on the ksuba, and then afterwards you write on the bottom, we made the following tikkun in the makom and the zman, whatever it was, and then the Edom sign a second time on that, so they're being made that the tikkun was done properly as well. Again, I was at a chasam with Rabbi Willig last week, so in the middle of the dancing. So I asked him, Rebbe, do you ever do that? Lamai said, do you ever be mekayim the ksubas like that? So he says, come on, just rip up the ksuba and start over again. So I said to him, and if it's a $1,000 ksuba, so he said, don't get a $1,000 ksuba. I said, okay, and if it is, then the dancing, the next song started, I didn't get an answer out of him. So anyway, if you have to be mekayim, so you have to be mekayim. If you're able to avoid it, it's better to avoid.
Sometimes people make a mistake only in one letter, and they just cross out the letter.
Addition or erase anything, any change in anything should have a kiyum. It's hard to say the halacha requires, but we make a kinyan for the ksuba. It's not 100% clear why we even need a kinyan, or if we even need a kinyan on the ksuba, but lemaisa, we make a kinyan. We make a kinyan on all the chiyuvim of the ksuba. So we try to explain to the chasim beforehand, if you're making a kinyan with somebody, you're supposed to explain to him what he's signing on. So we explain to him, yes, you're accepting upon yourself to pay the ikar ksuba, to pay the tesefes ksuba, to pay the nedunya. Usually when I have a mesada kiddush from one of my bachurim in Shia, so I say to him, listen, we've learned ksubas together, we've learned getting together kiddush, we learned some masechta over the last couple of years together where we spoke about all these things. So the guy gets scared, he thinks I'm giving him a bechina. So I said, you just remember what you're mechuyev in. You're obligating yourself to pay these three things. You should understand it. So we make a kinyan on these things. There is a question, there are some who raise the issue that in the text of the ksuba, so it would be inappropriate to write that magic word v'kanina before the kinyan is actually made, because it's a little bit of a mechzik shikra. It looks a little bit like a not true statement that would be made. We're saying we made a kinyan, didn't make a kinyan yet. So there was some who left out the word v'kanina, and then they fill it in. Either they fill in the whole word, or they fill in the kuf or something after the kinyan is made. The Masorah that I have is not to follow that. That the whole chashash is not really true. That's not a mechzik shikra. The whole thing is l'hoyer dvar me'olam. And fakir, there are a lot of mikshalim that come out from following that practice. That any Masada Kedushin who follows that practice will probably have one disaster story where he forgot to fill in the kuf, forgot to fill in the kanina, and then you have a real shayla. Then you talk about a very serious shayla on the ksuba. So I had an issue where somebody was getting mad in Eretz Yisrael, and the Masada Kedushin in Eretz Yisrael asked me to fill out the ksuba, to write out the ksuba, fill out the ksuba beforehand. So it's a classic example of miscommunication. So assuming the other person is thinking in a certain way. So I was assuming this Masada Kedushin is going to be makbid. He's not going to want to write the word v'kanina. So I did what I would never, ever do. I left out the word v'kanina. He was assuming that I would have written in the word v'kanina. Because the kids are, two trains in the past, Lamai said they signed the ksuba, and then they realized that that they hadn't written in the word Bekanina, which becomes a complicated shaila. So to avoid the whole shaila, the tradition that I have is just to fill in the word Bekanina and finish and don't play any games. So the first thing I do when I get a ksuba is I write in the word Bekanina, and that way you don't run into any problems. If it was actually forgotten, and now you want to, and the Edom already signed on the Ksuba, there are different opinions. There are some poskim who say you might have to rip it up and start over again. That it's the mezuyif, it's not a kosher Ksuba. And others are mekel. There are poskim who are mekel that either you can leave it the way it is. You don't really need that particular word bekanin. You have other lashonis of kinyan in there, or some say you can actually fill it in afterwards. Again, it's better to avoid the shaila to write it lefinias daiti, to write it beforehand. There's another shaila the poskim discuss if they forgot to do the kinyan altogether. So the first case we spoke about, they did the kinyan, forgot to write the kinyan. Here they wrote the kinyan, forgot to do the kinyan. So some of the ora that it's mamash mezuyif mitocha means you have a shtar that's not true. It says the kinyan and you didn't do a kinyan. It could be you weren't mechuyev to do the kinyan. It could be if you didn't do the kinyan altogether, it wasn't makir. But you might say you wrote it that you did a kinyan, which you didn't do. So that's also a question. So in that same dance, Rabbi will accept. I said to him, so what should I do? What should I do with that ksuba? He says, rip it up and throw it out again. I have $1,000 ksuba. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Figure it out later. So one should try to get the word bekinyan in properly and avoid to remember to do the kinyan at the right time to avoid any of these kinds of shilas. After the ksuba is written and filled out and it's signed, so then our minig is that the ksuba is read. Actually, the ksuba is really read twice. It's supposed to be read by the eidim before they sign the ksuba, like any other shtar. You're not supposed to sign a shtar before you read it. I had this also once when I was at one of my tamidim was a Sephardi boy. I wasn't Masada condition for him, and I was one of the eight ksubas. So when I got the ksuba, usually when I read a ksuba, so I read it fairly quickly. I say it in my sleep, so it takes me a second to read through it. But this ksuba was Lebedek. You know, it had a lot of different monies in different places. It got the rivers. It got a lot of things on it. So I started to read it very, very, you know, to read it carefully. I signed a shtar. It was a real shtar. I want to make sure I know what I'm signing. So the Masada condition got so insulted, he started screaming at me in Hebrew. He says to me, he's screaming, I don't know what I'm doing. He says, I'm accusing him that he doesn't know what he's doing. I said, Slicha, I don't accuse anybody. I said, I just want to be honest. I want to, so I wanted to read the ksuba properly. Anyway, so that's the proper thing to do, is the Edom should actually read the ksuba. Then we have a minik to read the ksuba a second time. That's really only b'taras minik. There's a reason for it. That's the reading of the ksuba under the chuppah. So the reading of the ksuba under the chuppah is not really, it's not ma'akav any stretch of the imagination. The primary purpose for reading the ksuba under the chuppah has nothing to do with hilchos ksubas. It has more to do in terms of hilchos brachas. That we have a major problem in terms of hilchos brachas that takes place under the chuppah. In the olden days, so there used to be a kiddushin, and then there was a break for a long time, to a year, and then they would have a nisuin. So you made brachas at the time of the kiddushin, then you made brachas at the time of the nisuin, and sure, it was not a problem. B'zman hazeh, we've incorporated both the kiddushin and the nisuin into one. The Rishonim write that this minik changed in the days of the Rishonim, the days of the Crusades, that it was too dangerous. They didn't want to have women running around who are mekudoshos, who weren't living together with a husband. It wasn't a good idea. So l'maisa, the minik is everything becomes incorporated into one ceremony, so now you have a problem. The problem is that there's a shalav b'chus brachas. You just made a bar priagofen on the coast of Erisin, and 5 minutes later you're going to make a bar priagofen on the coast of Nisuin. There's a shalav brachas and a tzricha. So the Rishonim write, you make a hefsek, you make a little bit of a break. So you have to think of what to make a hefsek with. So it's a good thing to make a hefsek. Read the ksuba. Shon gives you another kibbutz. So you read the ksuba to stall, to waste time. So some rabbanim like to give drushes at that point. So some rabbanim are very, very machped on the hefsek. They want to make sure that the hefsek l'chol ha'deis. So they make a very, very long drusha. But the purpose of that break of reading the ksuba is to create that hefsek. It's not really hilchos ksuba proper. After the ksuba is read, so then there's mesiras haksubas, and the husband gives the ksuba to his wife. Is it technically required in the sense of there are some Masada Kedushin who insist on having edim at the time of the mesiras haksuba? There are different suggestions why that's true. Some want to be chayshish, maybe it's a shtar kedushin. I just did a kesef kedushin, maybe you want to be a shtar kedushin. Some want mesiras edim in terms of the shtar itself. The ma'isa mikra din, the whole thing is very questionable whether you require edim there. Remember, my chasanas, Rabbi Willig, was mesada kedushin for me. So my wife's uncle was read the ksuba under the chuppah. Some of you may know Rabbi Samet, Rabbi Yudah Samet from Eretz Yisrael. So he read the ksuba. So after he read the ksuba, so he hands me the ksuba. I'm about to hand it to my wife. So Rabbi Samet. He turns around to the Eid Kedushin, quick, come, come watch. So Rabbi Willig was standing there, he started to smile because he's not mafid in this. So I remember he said, what do you mean the Eidim Kedushin? Yeah, 350 people who are the Eidim Mesiris Aksuba. So you don't need two Eidim for Nimtech Karb Apostle for the Mesiris Aksuba. That he wasn't so chashish for. So anyway, the Mai said we do the Mesiris Aksuba either with the Eidim, without the Eidim, whatever it is. It goes to the wife, usually gets handed off to the mother. And the most important thing is that it doesn't get lost. That's the most important part, because it tends to, that's the moment in time when it tends to get lost. Between that moment and when they actually go home, so somebody responsible to make sure that the ksuba doesn't get lost. Just have a couple of minutes. I just wanted to talk about one other thing related to Seder Kedushin, which is not exactly part of the Kedushin Shia, not exactly part of the Ksuba Shia. So I'm trying to figure out a way to shtup it in. So at the end, we can shtup it in. That's just in terms of the brachas, which are really, in a sense, a combination of both. A little bit in terms of the common issues that come up in terms of the Birchas Erisin, in terms of the Shema brachas under the Chuppah, which of course make up the rest of the Seder Kedushin. So the Gemara Maseches Ksubas tells us that you have to recite Birchas Erisin before your, I shouldn't even say that before, at the time of the Kedushin, you have to recite the bracha, the Birchas Erisin, Asher Kedushanim, Mitzvah, Tzivanim, etc. So there's a big Mechlekes Rishonim, what that bracha is all about. Where did that bracha come from? So the Rambam understands that to be a regular Birchas Mitzvah. So before you put on tefillin, before you eat matzah, you make a bracha. Before you make Kaddish Nisha, make a bracha. And the Rambam Lashitas who holds that Kiddushin is a mitzvah. It's not a Heksha mitzvah. It's a mitzvah itself. So the Rosh in the beginning of Ksubas disagrees, and the Rosh says that getting married is not a mitzvah per se. It's a Heksha mitzvah. It's important. We're all for it. But it's only a Heksha mitzvah for Pir of Arivia. It's not a mitzvah in and of itself. And therefore, it really shouldn't warrant a bracha. So what are we making a bracha for? So the Rosh says, it's a Birchas HaShevach. It's just a praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the beautiful institution of marriage, but not for the mitzvah of marriage per se. So my nafkamina, at the end of the day you have to make the bracha. So if a few nafkaminas ladina, so when should the bracha be said? So the Rambam says the bracha must be said before the ring is given. If the ring is given already, it's too late according to the Rambam. And the Rosh says no. The Rosh says you can say lechatchila afterwards, because the birchas hashavach, it's not bound by the rules of kol mitzvahs mevarach lem over lasiyasan. So we try lechatchila to be held to the bracha lecholadeh, as we make the bracha beforehand. That's what we try to do. But the avid, if a person made a mistake, put the ring on, so then the poskim mekel. But the avid, he could fall back on the rush. He could still recite. He could still recite the bracha. There are some achrayim who want to say that maybe even according to the Rambam it would be good. The Rambam himself happens not to say that, but some want to suggest maybe it's like a mitzvah nimsheches, like the Rambam writes in his brachas that if you put on tefillin and didn't make a bracha, you could still make a bracha now because it's an ongoing mitzvah. So maybe marriage is an ongoing type of mitzvah. So it's like a shtickle mitzvah nimsheches. The Rambam himself, Lamaisa, doesn't say that. So it's nice for drosha at a chosin stish, but Lamaisa, according to the Rambam, you're supposed to make the bracha dafka beforehand. There's another important nafkamina, and this machloek is the Rambam and the Rosh, as to what the role of the Masada Kedushin is in terms of reciting the bracha. So according to the Rambam, the Masada Kedushin is being motzi the chosin. It's like it's the chosin's bracha, so the Masada Kedushin is mamash being motzi him. According to the Rosh, he's not really being motzi anybody. He's being motzi everybody. It means everybody is mechuyav in the bracha. The act of a kiddushin requires somebody gets up and recites a birchas shavach. You're not being motzi the chosin proper. My nafkamina. So the Nedi Behudin, his first tshuva, and Ibn Ezer raises the following question: what if you have a situation where the chosin is not mechuyav in the bracha, or the chosin can't say the bracha, like the case where the ilayim, the cheresh, situations where the chosin is not a bar hochi to recite the bracha? So can the Masada Kedushin actually recite the bracha on his behalf? So it becomes also, the lady post can raise a question: what if the chosin is not a mamon b'shem? He's an atheist. He's getting married, but he wants chuppah v'kiddushin. He doesn't believe in the Rabbi Shalom. So Rabbi Shah has a tshuva that a person doesn't believe in the Rabbi Shalom. So how can he can't make a bracha? So for him, when he says Hashem elokeinu melech olam, he doesn't think it means anything. So how can I be motzi the person in the bracha if he can't make bracha b'chlal? So according to the Rambam, that would be a big problem. According to the Rambam, that would be a serious issue. According to the Rosh, so we're not happy the person's an atheist, but Lamaisa is getting married. Lamaisa, we're happy about the institution of marriage. Hopefully we'll be chazan b'tshuva. So we're celebrating marriage, so you could still recite the Birchas HaShevach, even if the chosin himself is not technically a mechuyav b'davar in the bracha. Then the Yehuda raises a shaila about what if the chosin can't make the bracha, but the kala could make the bracha. So according to the Rambam, could you be motzi the kala? Is the kala also mechuyav in the bracha? So if anyone's interested, so this particular shiur mo'an happens to be this. The snippet of the shiur is on video. It's on my chasana video, because that's what I said over at my chasana's dish. I said over the machlekes, the Rambam and the Rosh, with the suffix, the Nedi Yehuda, whether it's the chasana's bracha, the kala's bracha, etc., who's being yetzer the mitzvah of Kiddushin. But But again, under normal circumstances, the Masada Kedusha recites the bracha, either on behalf of himself or on behalf of the Chassam. Rabbi Shechter said several times in some degree of humor, so he said that if you hold that the Masada Kedusha is being motzi the Chassam, so then I understand it's the Chassam's choice for who's the Masada Kedusha. If you hold that the Masada Kedusha is being motzi the whole Olam, so then it's the Olam's choice. So he said you should have on the response cards a little check. Please put in your top all-star cards. Top three choice to Masada Kedusha. Whoever gets the most votes should be the Masada Kedusha, because it's not the Chassam's. It's the Olam's chos, but I don't think that's the minhag is not that way. In terms of the Birchas Erusin, so there's a complication in terms of the Birchas Erusin. That's the bracha of the Bar Pri Hagafen. So the Bar Pri Hagafen is a shaila, because normally in Birchas Hananin, when I make a bracha, so I have to be nana. I can't make a Birchas Hananin for you if I'm not going to eat the food or drink the drink myself. The exception of Hamotzi for matzah and the Bar Pri Hagafen for kiddush, because that becomes incorporated into the Birchas Hamitzvah. So here it's problematic because the Bar Pri Hagafen is not necessary. Medina de Gemara, you don't need a Bar Pri Hagafen for Birchas Erusin. So a lot of poskim are over this question. When you make a Bar Pri Hagafen, when the Masada Kedushin makes the bracha, happen the Chos and the Kala drink, I'll smach that bracha, the Masada Kedushin has to drink also, otherwise it's a bracha levatala. So the minig of most Masada Kedushin are not chayshish for that, but they assume that once the minig became to make the bracha, it also becomes like a shtickle Birchas Mitzvah, whatever the lumdus is. Most are not mach, but there are some Masada Kedushin who are mach, but they take a little something, a little spill. A little mashu. And again, I wasn't at any chassans that Reb Chaim Brisker was Masada Kedushin for, so I can't say, you know, is there or not. The way the rumors go is that they say Reb Chaim used to do it. They say the Brisker Rav denied it ever happened. So one, you can draw one or two conclusions on that. Either Ataka never happened, or Reb Chaim did it so discreetly his own son never saw it. I can't begin to comment on what the truth of what actually happened there was. But Akopan and the Rasa Masada Kedushin do that little spill. Then we get to the brachas, the second half of the brachas of Sheva brachas under the chuppah. So you run into sometimes some sensitive issues in terms of those brachas. Somebody asked me before about if sometimes I want to be mechabit somebody for one of the brachas who's not from. So that becomes a tricky question about it. Depends how not from is not from. So if they're mesachah b'kuvya, that's okay. They can't be an but they can still make a bracha. But if the person's b'chlal not from, so if they mamish don't believe in the Rabban Shalom Legamrei, so then Moshe says it's b'chlal not a bracha. If they believe in the Rabban Shalom but they don't keep any of the mitzvahs, so the question is, what do you mean they don't keep the mitzvahs? It means they believe in the heart of hearts, they should be keeping it, but if they're mumul teyavon, so then they could make a bracha. The guy mamish doesn't believe in Torah, doesn't believe in anything, so then it's very hard to say that he can make a bracha for you. So you should probably have to give him a different kibbutz. So I don't know, give him read the Tanoim, I don't know, read the Ksuba, I mean, you can do something else. But in terms of making the brachas, it's tricky. I had once a very uncomfortable situation. It wasn't the Sheva brachas under the chuppah, it was the Sheva brachas out of Sheva brachas, that there was actually extended family Sheva brachas, and I saw already what was coming right away, that one of the people who was going to be mechubed, one of the Sheva brachas after the meal, gave him an afrum, he wasn't Jewish. It means he didn't. He wasn't Jewish. I mean, everyone else thought he was Jewish, but I had some very real reason to believe that he wasn't. It was a little bit tricky. The good news is that the share box was in our house. So when you're the balabas, you can play a little bit. So I got up with a straight face, and I got up and I said, you know, there's a whole question about Panim Chadoshos, about what the role of the Panim Chadoshos is to make Sheva Brachas. According to the Rambam, Panim Chadoshos, you're being motzi the Panim Chadoshos. So it's really the Panim Chadoshos Bracha. So I said, our minhag is that if we follow the Shittas of Rambam, that the Panim Chadoshos, it's really his Bracha, and we want to be Mechabe, the Panim Chadoshos, to say all the Brachas. So my brother-in-law happened to be the Panim Chadoshos. So I said, that's how minhagim, it's not a new minhag. So I said, Kachava. So I had my brother-in-law, Roni, some of you know, Roni Stamm. So he got up. I said to Roni, just don't say. He looks at me like off my rock. I said, right, just do me a favor, I'll explain to you later. Just rattle off all seven brachas. So somebody said, Effie, what a beautiful custom. That's such a nice idea. I said, everyone's happy. Shalom Yisrael. So sometimes you have to think quickly on the spot. But anyway, one should choose for the brachas. So the Sheva brachas should be people who are maminim, or people who are be able to say the brachas properly. There are different minhagim amongst the Masada Kedushin about the microphone, whether we should use a microphone or not use a microphone. So it's not really a Kedushin shal, it's a bracha shal. In general, can I make a bracha on a microphone that's going to be motzi other people? Is that really hearing the kol itself? Ramosha Bakriyasa Megillah, Maker Adin was really Maker, Shlomo Zalman didn't like it. And I know there are some Masada Kedushin who are makbid dafka not to use the microphone for the brachas. So it's always a touchy thing, because I remember when I first started to, first time I was Masada Kedushin, so I learned by Rabbi Wilgen and Rabbi Shechter, just in case anyone didn't figure that out. So I learned by Rabbi Wilgen and Rabbi Shechter. Shechter. So Rabbi Willig is machped not to use the microphone. Rabbi Shechter uses the microphone. So I figured, all right, I'll try not to use the microphone. So I was about to start the first. So the mother of the Kala saw what was going on. She says to me, Rabbi, please use the microphone. No one, we paid for 500 people. No one's going to please you. So I began to fight with the mother. So after that, I learned very quickly that usually the parents want to use the microphones. I usually follow Rabbi Willig's anhag, but that particular anhag, it's hard for me to follow. I said, it's hard to get into an argument with people. And I said, many Masada Kedushin today do use the microphone and not so concerned with it.
You mentioned about that some people write Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah.
There's a horror that really there is no city that's named Brooklyn, New York. English, we write a comma,
right. Right. That's why some like to write the Medinas, New York. Some are marked Dafka because of that concern. Yeah, the others who write Brooklyn, New York, it's understood. Everybody else, you read that ksuba, there's no one in a million years going to think that it's not taking place in what we call Brooklyn, New York. Yeah. And that's the source of that minhag to write the Medinas, New York.
The empty space is making the dashes.
You should make lines. Yeah. It shouldn't be. Mikra Din doesn't have to say it. Mikra Din doesn't really have to say it. So I don't know. There you have to make a line, but in the ksuba itself, you have to make a line. You should make a line.
I'm sorry, I missed the beginning. You mentioned it. Did you talk about putting a name in parentheses? In other words, the Hebrew name and then the English name, obviously, not together, but some people write the Shemitah Pikol or the Hebrew name and then Shemitah Pikol in parentheses.
Yeah, so there are.
The marker for the parentheses.
I don't know, in terms of the parentheses, there are some who write, if you have two names, the same way you have in Gittin, we write Hamachuna, so there are some who write in Ksubas also Hamachuna. Ashkenazi Ksubas, we generally don't do that. We generally write the name that the person is called up to by the Torah, which is the name that he was given at birth.
When did you come up on that?
The Miskri is for a Hebrew, for another Hebrew name, and Hamachuna is for if it's a Goyish.
Rabosha's Tshuva, where he allows one to write the Sulta, even though one knows it's not, is Lachor talking on Bulu Satsmo. But if it was Yidua, Laravim, or if it's some Yidua, Masada Kedushin, we're not talking Bulu Satsmo, Balos Chuba, whatever.
Good.
Wouldn't it be correct that it should be written Kalta? It's something to be.
But if he himself, if the Chosin knows, the Chosin. No, it depends if she was Be'ula too. So if she was Be'ula too, Yisrael, then she's talking about Teres HaKohen. If she's Asura to a Kohen, we always try to incorporate that somewhere into the Nesach HaLiksil. But yeah, depends what whether she is Asura or she's not Asura to a Kohen. Right.
In case where the Ksuba is lost at the
land. Yeah. So you have to write another Ksuba. Shetak Ksuba Dirchasa, you have to.
And does the
Ksuba
have to be delivered to Kala that day, or is it not Kala knows that
Kala doesn't have to walk around the ksuba. She has to know where it is, have access to it at any given.
So
if they find it, they call up. They say
we found.
The Rav finds it, so good. So then. He should call. He should at least call her. He should tell her, I'm holding on to your ksuba for you. Yeah. I mean, a couple goes away. They don't have to take the ksuba with them. They know that the ksuba is sitting in Eretz Yisrael, whatever. And they're in America. That's okay.
And then the sun fades the
Asav
of the Ksuba.
Yeah.
Instead of the Ksuba, to go over it, not even talking about the eight of signatures, but the Ksav Agavik Sav. What do you do?
If it's Shtar, it's not legible. It's not a good Shtar anymore. No? We have to. I think the first. I think so. You can't. Mamish can't read it. You have to write over again.
The Parashal suggested to me that a good way to resolve that today, because a lot of people hang it up, is just to make a Xerox.
Right away. Just make a Xerox. Yeah. The Beis Din gets one.
Right, the Beis Din gets a copy. Gets and there you run to a Shiloh.
Of Tuxubas, right. Tuxubas, right. Right.
Be a Xerox is less. In Eretz Yisrael, the sign. Right. A copy. Sign.
But you didn't answer the first part of the Shir. Cedar Kedushin. This whole problem of where the Ksuba, you realized, wasn't a good Ksuba.
I wrote a ksuba dated from today. I wrote a ksuba.
Not a ksuba.
No, I wrote a new ksuba.
Yeah.
I mean, it can't be bad if it's a new ksuba. You're being mashavid yourself to what it is.
What did you do about ksuba? How did you write it?
I wrote Issasa. I probably wrote Issasa. I forgot it. I probably wrote Issasa. It was funny because I was thinking, should I write last names? I mean, that's ridiculous. They have the same last name. They've been married for 20 years, so I'm going to write the last names. This one, the Mishpachas Kohn, the Mikra and Kohn. It's funny, so I just left out the last names under that. There was a whole sichsich also about what the names were. They were probably tshuva. They weren't exactly sure what the names were, but whatever names they were being called then. I did. I'll tell you what happened. They called me. The guy called me the night as my wife is going to labor. He called me, says he realizes he needs a new ksuba. So, you know, he didn't tell me the whole details of the story. I said, okay, listen, rely on the Ramah. I said, I can't, I got other things right now. So the next day, whatever it was, whenever we got a chance, we wrote it up. We wrote dating. Right, wrote it there. The post can say, if you have a shtak ksuba d'yichus and you don't remember when the original wedding was, you also write it that day. You have no choice. Pashas, you have to write the English name, right? No one, if he's never a friend. That's his name, right? Call him Michael, whatever, right? I think so.
That's the same regarding the names for the girls, where they may have had a Hebrew name, but they've never been called after the name of
God. Well, the question is, you know, if the family is from, so the father makes a mishaber for them, you know, so that, you mean he's not from Bechlal. That's a shame shnishtakev. Nobody uses the name ever. So that's a. I was Masada Kedushin a couple of months ago for a woman. It was a balagan. She was a grusha. She was a Sufik Yoras and a grusha. And it was one of collector's items. And then she was telling me what her name was. On the Ksav Geiris had one name. The kids, I asked her, are you ever called by this name? You're telling me a Hebrew name now. I said, Balaman, do you ever use this name? So she said, oh, absolutely, I use it. I'm asking people, no one ever used that name, but she's swearing to me this is the name I use and this is the name. So I noticed on the, and it was the second marriage, they didn't even send an invitation. Sometimes invitations, if the name's an invitation, so that's, you know, the shtickle raya, they send out 30 days before, so it's nechazik 30 days. So here they show me they had a chuppah, you know, they had like a little design on them, on the chuppah or something, and it had her name on the, you know, his name and her name on the design of the chuppah. So I said, okay. At least Haraya, she considers that to be a name. She said there are people who call by that name. So if people prefer to a little bit by that name, that's not really a shame.
Tremendous. Yes, Shikai, Rav Slavolomsky, Rabbi, so let's continue the discussion. Lunch is directly across in the right room. Everyone will move in there, and I hope to have the parking validations for you shortly.
Shikai. Tremendous.